Wait, Michael, is this song, does this go along with the book, Whatever It Takes, Life Lessons from Degrassi and Elsewhere in the World of Music and Television, or did you just happen to find this song? What an interesting intro for our guest. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining us on the line is Stephen Stone, who's a highly regarded entertainment lawyer, but probably best known as the executive producer of various Degrassi television. Now, Stephen, when we say various Degrassi television series, do we mean the one starting in the 80s, specifically the one in the 90s? What can we attribute to you as the superstar of creating a big genre of teen shows?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Patty. And I really enjoyed listening to that song. I helped write that song back in 2000. That was the Degrassi, the Next Generation version of the series.
Okay. See,
But it was way back in 1979 when I first met Linda Schuyler, who later became my wife, and she had a little book in her hand. I helped her buy the rights in it, and it became the first of the Kids of Degrassi Street. So that was nearly 40 years ago.
Get out of here. Has it been 40 years? Now, who wrote this book, this little book, and what was it? Was it kind of from a teenager's point of view? What was I didn't realize this whole series was based on this little book.
Well, it actually was a mistake. My wife was a school teacher. She taught school for 8 years, and she loved teaching school, but she also had this passion for making films, but she didn't know anything about making films. So the school librarian ordered all these books about how to make a film, you know, working in cinema, and came in one day and said, "Oh, I've made a mistake. This is a book called Ida Makes a Movie. It's not about this. It's about a little girl who wants to make a movie." So Linda came to me as a young lawyer. I'd never met her before. I gave her some free legal advice, which was, "Hey, this little book is out of print. If we get lawyers involved, it'll get really expensive. Here's a form you can fill out to buy all the rights. Go down and negotiate with yourself with the publisher. Pay them a couple hundred bucks and see what happens." But sure enough, she bought the rights to the book. I didn't see her for a few years. But when the series started to catch on a little bit, she realized she needed an entertainment lawyer and remembered that nice young man who gave her some free legal advice back then. And I like to say that she's paid dearly for it ever since.
Oh, no. But what inspired you to help her out? I know a few lawyers, and unless I'm pretty good friends with them, and even then, they seem a little hesitant to be handing out advice. What motivated you to give her free advice?
I've been helped in my life, and I'll bet you have too. And when somebody comes in, she didn't have very much money, and I really could just help her out with this. You know, by the time you open a file and you do things, I thought, it was just my good deed for the day. Let's pass along something nice.
What a wonderful origin story. I really had never heard that. So I'm guessing that you have quite a bit in the book, at least, pulling back that curtain for people in this book. Tell us a little bit about Whatever It Takes, Life Lessons from Degrassi and Elsewhere in the World of Music and Television.
You might think, and it is, a behind-the-scenes book looking at Degrassi, but also as an entertainment lawyer, I've worked with a lot of musicians and others in the entertainment world, and people like Randy Bachman, Taking Care of Business, and Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway, K.D. Lang, and others like that. So I tell some of their stories. But secretly, as the book progresses, and I started to realize as I was writing it, it was becoming a little bit of somebody called it a Zen manual. And what I mean by that is I started to think about what does it mean to be successful? And how do you turn dreams into success? And what's the difference between dreams and success? And, it's hard, but I started to realize that actually there's a lot of luck involved, but also you've got to be prepared to fail. So there's a lot of stories of me failing in the book.
Right.
Just doing stupid things and it doesn't work out, except it does work out because you build from a foundation and you suddenly realize, hey, I'm not that sad that happened. I was sad at the time, but it really has turned out okay. I just keep plugging away.
Well, and one of the descriptions is that it is a Zen manual for self-awareness and personal growth. And it is hard to sort of, when you're in the middle of a failure, to, maybe it's better with a little bit of distance, but it's hard to examine it and think, okay, this is happening. What do I do next? How do I grow from this? How do I learn from that? Where in your career do you think you develop that skill to go, okay, this is a failure and this is what happens next?
I think it was fairly early on when I was still a teenager, and I read a little article in a magazine about setting goals. And what it said was, just write down whatever it is you want. But then after you write it down, and that sounds pretty simple. I mean, you know, I want to be a billionaire. I want to marry a Hollywood star or starlet, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you then ask yourself a question, well, why is it that I want to be a billionaire? And you start to realize, oh, well, maybe I don't really want to be a billionaire. There's other important things, like I'd like to be healthy. There's no good having money if you're not healthy. And I'd like to have a good relationship. And you start to really paint a picture of what it is you want. That, if you hold that in your mind, I have a very strong belief that you can reach it. And the failures are just one step along the path towards reaching those kind of goals, if you've got real, authentic goals that you've thought about very deeply.
That's extraordinary. And I think that a lot of people are hearing you say, I figured out when I was a teenager. And a lot of people probably think, well, you know, I'm in my 30s, 40s, or 50s. You know, I've already missed that ship of learning from my mistakes. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I'm 70 years old. I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes. The nice thing, and particularly in the entertainment industry, the nice thing about failing is when you fail in the entertainment industry, nobody knows, because that's the essence of failure. You haven't reached out and engaged people. So you just keep on going. And putting one step ahead of the other, just moving on forward and having that goal in mind. You know, it's amazing what the universe can do to conspire with you to help you to reach that goal, if it's a true, authentic goal.
That's a lovely way to put it, that the universe will conspire with you to achieve it. But you also have to be present for that, too, because it won't happen on its own. Tell us a little bit about your co-writer on this and what role Christopher Ward has played both in your life and in this book.
Well, the book starts off with a lot of the stories of Chris and I traveling through Europe. This was back in about 1970. And just a pair of young hippies with guitars and playing in local clubs. We actually played on board a U.S. destroyer. We got all the way to Turkey. This was in a Volkswagen van, a used Volkswagen van that kept breaking down. And I tell the story, you know, we ended up, the bus broke down, so we had to stop in Turkey. But we got a job playing at the Playboy Club in Ankara for about 8 weeks. We, you know, teamed up with some local musicians there. And we wanted to be the new John Lennon and Paul McCartney. That was our dream at the time. Well, we never did become the new John Lennon and Paul McCartney, but we ended up having some songs on the radio in Canada, and Christopher went on to become well-known. I don't know if you know the song. A lot of people will, called Black Velvet by Alanna Miles.
Heck yes. I'm sorry. I almost said something else, but yes, I love that song.
Yes. Well, Chris wrote that song several years later, and, you know, it was a trip that he took down visiting Graceland. Have you ever been to Graceland?
I have not. It's on my bucket list, but I need to make sure. You know, I have more of a tub than a bucket, really. I got a lot of stuff I got to get done.
I understand that. Well, if you ever do get a chance to go down there, and I totally recommend it for people, it's a very emotional experience. Well, he went down, and I think it was on the 10th anniversary of Elvis's death, and he saw, you know, the crowds there, and he was so moved by it. He ended up writing this song, Black Velvet, and there's a line in it about a new religion that will, you know, you'll fall down on your knees. And it was number one worldwide.
I love that origin story of that, too. Man, you have so many great, perspectives on the moments in your life and obviously in the careers and the extraordinary projects you've worked on. Again, we've been talking to Steve Stone. He is the author, co-author of Whatever It Takes, Life Lessons from Degrassi and Elsewhere in the World of Music and Television. And again, I do love that it's described as a Zen manual for self-awareness and personal growth disguised as a trip down memory lane from backstage to the back lot. I wonder, where do you direct people to find your book for purchase and downloading?
Well, really, it should be available in local bookstores. If it's not, you can order it from there. But certainly on Amazon or any of those services, you can get it immediately. And with Amazon Prime, it seems to arrive almost the next day.
Well, when I get a chance to read the whole thing, I would love to chat with you again and talk about our thoughts on it. Hopefully our listeners pick it up so that we can do a little bit of a Q&A with you and kind of go over some of the stories that you share. Would that work for you?
I would love that, Patty.
Oh, that's wonderful. Again, is there a website where people can find out more about you as well?
Well, at stephenstone.ca, but Stone is a weird spelling. So it's S-T-E-P-H-E-N, and Stone is S-T-O-H-N. So stephenstone.ca will tell you a little bit more. Or just go to Amazon or one of those services, and they'll tell you about the book.
Well, what I'll ask Michael to do is maybe peel this out as a standalone podcast so they have both the interview plus a link to where they can find more information about you and find the book.
That'll be great.
Excellent. Have a lovely evening, sir. It was a pleasure to talk to you. My best to your family.
Thank you so much, Patty.
Thank you. We'll talk again. Thank you. And if you're ever in Chicago, we would love to have you in studio. Just putting
Excellent.
That out there. Wonderful. Have a great evening.
Okay.
Bye. More after this on 720 WGN.